Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Broadway Breakdown. I am one half of your host, Matt Koplik.
And I am one fourth of your other host, John Wiscavage.
Oh, look what he did there, math hunty.
Yeah, what a wonderful mathy day I'm having today.
Mm-hmm, some crystal math?
No. I'm going to have to go to the methadone clinic. No. Can we start over?
I'm a method actor.
Ew.
Shut up. That was funny.
No, it wasn't.
No, we can't start over, John. Just like life, there are no redos.
Yes, there are.
Well, like Scarlet Pimpernel, there are redos.
Oh, God.
Oh, dear God.
See, I brought it to Broadway. See, I made it work.
Congrats. Congrats to you.
Thank you so much. So I normally would ask how you're doing, but I do follow you on Facebook, so...
So I know you're not doing well.
No.
Is the subtext of that.
How sad are you today?
You know, on like a scale of like one to like, what's like a really sad thing? Acting, like being an actor. I'm such an actor
Shannon Doherty's career?
No. I mean, she doesn't have a sad career. She just has like a bitchy career. but same. No, I'm actually doing okay today. My allergies are kind of like effed up. And so I woke up this morning and it felt like I had, I started my day at a very much Elaine Stritch level. Like, I woke up and I felt like I had smoked a pack, downed a bottle of whiskey, took some uppers with Judy Garland, and I woke up and I was like, good morning. Like, it was very much a mix of, I mean, I've also been rewatching 30 Rock, so I'm giving you all of Jack Donaghy meets Elaine Stritch, who plays his mother on the show, meets the episode where they all kind of become Batman characters, and Liz loses her voice, and they all kind of start talking like this.
And Will Arnett, too.
I was going to say, I was like, I'm giving you a Will Arnett day.
You two can have a talking like this contest.
Yes, I'm Will Arnett.
Oh, Will Arnett.
Michael.
You know what? I would say you're more Will Arnett on BoJack Horseman than you are Will Arnett on 30 Rock.
You know what I realize?
That's weird
because he's super gay on 30 Rock. Like, and that's beyond brand for me.
If you were to combine the two, the super gayness of
the super depression of BoJack Horseman.
Exactly.
I actually just realized like 2 weeks ago because I was so excited for the new season of BoJack Horseman. I was like, I'm so excited. I can't wait to watch it. And then I started watching an episode and I was like, I have no idea what's going on. And I realized I was so sad last year that I didn't even watch the last season of BoJack Horseman because I was too depressed for it.
Yeah.
And so I didn't watch it. And I just thought, oh, I'm two seasons behind. And so...
You're starting season four now or... So you're starting the previous season now is what you're saying.
Yeah, except I haven't started because I was afraid of getting too sad again.
It's okay. Fair.
But you know.
Yeah, there are two episodes in last season that are like downright devastating. I will say this season is overall less devastating than last season.
But also same for my life, so I should watch.
Exactly, yeah. It's you come out of the darkness and into the cartoons. That's what I say.
Yes. I feel so much like a Lizzie McGuire song.
Out of the darkness and into me.
Yeah, and into me. Oh my God, that's definitely my Lizzie McGuire song. I'm wearing like full head to toe, like kind of reflective white, like a white jumpsuit. I have butterfly clips in my hair.
And I'm
chin shelfing.
And I'm Christy Carlson Romano. Oh. Trying so hard to become a thing.
Someone brought her up to me this week because when I had my mustache, I asked if people liked it or if it made them think of the Factor Girl song.
He
calls my name. I turn my head. I love the vocal switches in that song.
Oh, yeah, when they go into the head voice. And I got to run away.
I know, it's great.
Brooke Sunny Moralbar.
But and so most people, of course, agreed that I was giving them a lot of call the Factory Girls. I was giving them super molesty, but yeah.
But that's how Christy Carlson Romano came up.
Yeah,
I came from my pay,
Mr. Frank. Hi. Happy Memorial Day.
She goes, hi. Her line readings in what's it called? Picture Show.
I was gonna say, I got some. I haven't chewed gum for a year. Well, this episode has just been brought to you by Parade. Parade, it's time for a revival, and let's make sure the Leo Frank is hot. come on.
No.
When they did the concert with Jeremy Jordan, I was like, there is no hope left for character actors ever.
No. Well, that's Jessica Vosk started that same thing with Fiddler on the Roof. It's like, well...
Yeah, what we were talking about last week.
Then we got to belt our tits off. Well, it actually would be very interesting because... Do we ever talk about this, Lolita, the book Lolita? Have you ever read it by any chance?
No. I feel like we maybe have talked about it because it's ringing a bell, and I feel that if anyone were to talk to me about it, it would be you.
Thank you.
Because it just sounds super gay. It sounds super sad and like super niche.
Yeah.
So you.
Yeah. And like very like artsy, I read books kind of thing.
Kind of like Giovanni's Closet. Or what was that?
What?
What's that?
Giovanni's Closet?
Giovanni's Room. The James Baldwin novel, it's a classic gay novel. I listened to it on audiobooks on a bus.
I'm literally looking at John Miscavige the same way the audiences of Escape to Margaritaville looked at the stage of Escape to Margaritaville.
happened to you?
I assume. I didn't see it. But
I have to look this up. Okay, talk about Lolita.
So Lolita, for those of you who don't know, Lolita is a very classic novel, very risque. It is, to put it bluntly, about a pedophile.
We have talked about this.
Because it's the ultimate unreliable narrator because he's like such a beautiful wordsmith. He just like talks about things so poetically that you get wrapped up in it and you're like, no, wait, you're talking about having sex with a 12-year-old. Stop it. Ugh. But then to make matters worse, like, you get like 90 pages into the book and you're like, oh, this creep. And then he's like, before we go any further, I should probably inform you, I'm really, really attractive. He's like, I am sexy. I look like a movie star.
Well, there we go then. I mean, all is forgiven.
Well, that's the brilliance of that moment. It's like, fuck you. Now, like, I have to imagine you looking like Jeremy Jordan and like, I'm starting to forgive you for more things. And I hate that about myself.
Wow. That is such a social commentary.
And yes,
the book I was talking about is Giovanni's Room. It's a classic gay novel. Written by James Baldwin. And it's about an Italian bartender named Giovanni who a Parisian gay meets and a torrid love affair starts. I never finished it, which is very symbolic of my life.
Of your sex life, really.
True. I get like to the climax of the book and I'm like, I'm bored.
I'm gonna
rewatch 30 Rock.
Never put 30 Rock on while you're trying to make whoopee because you'll just get distracted.
We are also living in a 1960s game show because we're going to call it Whoopee. I'm also sorry if I keep clearing my throat, everyone. My fall allergies have kicked in, which is a great transition to how are you doing, Matt?
I am phenom. I'm just living my best truth, my best life. Speaking of books that I read, I am currently rereading...
Compared to books that I don't read, which is a short list.
I'm rereading The Happiness Project. Are you familiar?
What is that?
Essentially, it's a self-help book. This woman, Gretchen Rubin...
No, I meant what is happiness. Not what's that?
So much happiness.
Okay,
really,
so this woman.
In the park. So this woman, Gretchen Rubin, created a book...
Over sandwich. I had a medium iced coffee today. I'm sorry, bitch.
I've had two hot coffees today in my Ravenclaw mug that I got at the Harry Potter studio tour, and I'm still not awake. I don't know what that says about me.
Your pictures.
It's because I went to bed so late. Why do I do that?
Depression.
Depression.
Anxiety. Zoloft.
Which leads us back to the Happiness Project.
Yes, please.
So Gretchen Rubin's this woman who's like, I have so many wonderful things in my life. I really should take advantage of it and really enjoy it more. So she dedicated a year of her life to like figuring out happiness. But it's not an eat, pray, love situation. She's like, I went to India and I cleared out my third eye. She's like, bitch, I don't have enough money to like go away for a year. Yeah, she's like, I've got a family, so I can't abandon them. Yeah, well, and she's like, and I like having to-do lists. I like having actions and things like that, which I was like, bitch, praise to me.
She's
like,
an actor.
Yeah,
she knows
is.
Her actions.
She needs things to do during the scene. Mm. So reading it was really helpful because she's like, gives you physical things that you can try out for your own happiness. And
like,
it's like
masturbating?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, is that actually one? Well, no, I wouldn't be surprised if it isn't.
Well, no, she has a husband where she like implies that they've got a healthy sex life. She just keeps on talking about like how handsome he is and they're like soulmates. And it's like, okay, great. We get it.
Once again, he's handsome. So yeah. I'm like, you're set.
Yeah, exactly. We get it. He goes down on you every other night. Like, fine, whatever.
Oh, that's too much.
No, it's all in the subtext, John.
Okay. No, I mean, like, that's not too much to handle. I mean, just like, that's too often. Every other really? Night? Please. Oh,
well.
I'm 50.
You really are. John can only get it up once a week.
I'm a Paul Lynde nightmare.
That's you're honestly my Paul Lynde fantasy.
No, I'm all the nightmare.
All the Paul Lynde and none of the nudity, so thank you. Shut up.
I'll have to read this book.
It's great. So, like, it really inspires. I read it, like, 4 years ago, and I'm reading it again as I'm, like, kind of going to a new development in my life. Mm. And one of the things she tells you to do is, like, write down your own personal adult truths and secrets, like happiness.
Oh.
So things that I wrote down are, like, always add 10 minutes for travel time. Like, it'll make you less stressed.
Mm-hmm. That's number one. Mm-hmm.
Another one for
us. Both of us were 10 minutes late today.
We were.
We were both 10 minutes
but
late.
But if I didn't give myself that extra 10 minutes, I would have been 20
minutes
late.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yep. And another one I have for myself is when a party's not fun, leave.
Oh, that's a good one.
It sounds super trivial and easy, but it's really hard.
It's really hard.
Yeah. The other one I have for myself that I've really attested myself is being out of your comfort zone and doing something you hate are two totally different things.
Oh, that, yes.
Because I think we associate...
Pearls of wisdom dripping from thy mouth this morning. And thy neck. And
it gets
thy
dirty.
Face every other Tuesday.
John and I have a mutual friend who listens to this podcast. I won't say his name for his own privacy, but he says he always wants to turn off the podcast when we get to like sex stuff because he's like, I don't want to hear you guys talk about your sex lives. I was like...
No one does. No That's one. The only reason why we do this is because we're forcing it down your... ears.
We don't want to force anything into your ears. If there's anything you don't like to hear, skip ahead 5 minutes. We'll still be talking about sex, but we'll be like wrapping it up by that point.
Shot you the
you
look.
I
always forget that they can't see my takes on a podcast, and I do a lot of takes. I do a lot of eye rolls, and I just did a take to you on Wrap It Up.
You did.
Imagine it. Rewind like 30 seconds, and then when he says Wrap It Up, imagine a snarky take from me.
You know what we are? John and I are two Samanthas in Charlotte clothing for me.
Oh my God! Oh my God!
And Miranda clothing for John.
Yeah.
And by that I mean like attitudes. Like we both have Samantha brains, but like we describe them in Charlotte and Miranda vocabularies.
Yes.
Yeah. But it's a podcast, so we should try to be more of a Carrie.
Well, why does no one get it right?
No one gets it because no one truly wants to be Carrie.
Carrie.
I am the son of this.
I also want to take a moment because we didn't really talk about it last week, but I want to do a little plug for where we're recording right now. We didn't actually talk about it.
We didn't really talk about it. No.
Well, plug away. Plug him. He's a straight boy. We always have tried to plug them.
Oh, hunty. If I had more ambition, I probably would try.
Yeah.
Not with him, but straight boys in general. So we are recording in the current studio for my straight husband and never lover, Tyler Milliron, of Tyler Milliron Studios and Photography and what have you. Tyler has a wonderful studio on West 38th Street, which those of you who got to know me through Baking It on Broadway, the last four episodes we shot were in this studio in front of a green screen. They were lovely. If you watched the Will Roland episode, Kevin Duda, Samantha Mussel, they were all here. And Tyler will be moving studios in the middle of the month. He will be downsizing because most of his work now has been on location stuff and editing and post-production. So he's just sort of figuring out, like, he's doing his own happiness project and removing some clutter. Because he's like...
But look into him, guys. Yeah. If you, I mean, he's amazing. He's been great to record with. He's such a lovely person. He's so wonderful. And we thank him so much for letting us record in this space while it's here, and for just, I feel like he taught us things last week, and we've been doing this for over a year.
He did.
And he taught us things that I mean, I'm sure I could have Googled to find out, but why the fuck would I Google anything? Other than, I mean, God, what's the last thing I Googled? You don't want to know.
No. I think I Googled who the actors were who played the sailors in the season 5 premiere episode of Sex and the City, because that's what I was watching this morning.
Billy, I beg to differ with you.
How do you mean?
You're the top.
Yeah.
You're an arrow collar. You're the top.
Yeah, so this is our plug for Tyler Milliron.
Yes. Look into Milliron Productions.
Yeah. If you have any video projects you want to do, he is your guy. He shoots music videos. He shoots series. He shoots audition reels sometimes if you want.
Straight baits.
bang bus, bait bus.
Bukkakis. Mm-hmm. No, don't. And if you don't know what those are, you should Google those.
Yes.
But
that's,
we know you know what those are.
Yeah, I mean, come on. If you've made it this far onto our
without
podcast.
Without knowing what a bukkake is, that's on you.
That is on
that
you.
That is literally on you.
So this is to
really
say.
Really, I beg to differ with you. I'm going to do it for myself.
Sure.
Really, I beg to differ with you.
So let's transition into some Broadway.
Broadway.
Last night, I had the glorious benefit of seeing one of my best friends go on for a lead role in a Broadway musical.
She's so good.
She is. She is truly one of the best singers in the world. And
she is.
Yeah. So little PSA for everybody out there. I have not made many great choices in my life. I chose to be gay. I chose to get a BFA in musical theater. I chose to start a podcast with John Miscavige.
The worst
idea I could have done. But if I have made any good decisions in my life, it was choosing to become friends with very talented people.
Yes.
Which sounds superficial, but
it's important.
If you're an actor or you have actor friends, you're not always going to be or have friends who are going to be in a lot of great things. So it's important that they be talented and very intelligent. So that way, when you tell them that they were great, you actually mean it. No matter what you thought of the show.
And I'm a firm believer of you should not be the most talented person in a group ever. Mm-hmm. Like, you should always strive to hang out with people who are more creative, more talented, more out there, more just like pushing boundaries, because it'll push you.
That's why John said yes to this podcast.
Exactly.
He was like,
because Matt needed me.
See, we turned the tables on each other twice.
Yes.
Ah, this is truly
Adele's
a bait bus.
Turning tables. It's truly a bait bus.
This whole thing is a bait bus.
There's our title. This whole thing has been a bait bus.
So, my dear friend Lauren Nicole Chapman is in the ensemble of Frozen and got to go on for Anna last night, her third time.
Oh.
It was so lovely.
I truly, behind her back, call her KitchenAid because she is a power mixer.
She really is.
Her voice is fluid, effortless, no break.
Well, what I hate about her is that she's the kind of mixer where you think to yourself, like, oh, her mix is so, it's very Kate Baldwin-y, like very thick vocal cords that, like, there is no break.
Chords.
But part of you goes, like, oh, is she, like, kind of cheating because she can't belt that high note? No, she can belt that
high note.
She just often chooses not to because
she's
she doesn't
so
need
smart.
To. So, for example, for the first time in forever.
Mm-hmm.
It's a song where, like, you do have to mix because it's very heavy patter. She's running around that stage like a goddamn animal.
Yeah, they make the honors do a lot.
Yeah, that and Love is an Open Door. I was like, so.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get into other thoughts I have about the show and the creative
team. Was this your first time seeing Frozen?
Yes, I've never seen it before.
Oh, I did not realize that.
No, I had not seen it. So much as I do love Lauren Nicole Chapman, she is the reason I've seen Kinky Boots 4 times, because I saw it the first time because it was new and I wanted to see it. And
Kinky
then
Boots!
She made her Broadway debut in the ensemble, and then she went on tour and she went on for Lauren, so I went to go see her do that. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, bitch, I will not see this show again unless you go on for Lauren on Broadway. Cue 9 months
and
later,
then
she's
did.
Like, guess what?
Yeah.
So I've seen the show 4 times, and I was like, I've counted the amounts of dollars I've spent seeing you in the show. That is the most I will pay to see you go on for Anna, but I will not pay that for you to be in the ensemble. I'm like, I love you. I'm not made of money. So, like,
sure.
It's got to be something special.
That makes sense.
And she went on, and I ended up not having to spend nearly as much. So it was all good. Point is, in First Time in Forever, she's mixing up for the gods. She does some belting. She mixes. The last part, there are 2 moments where she full on just, like, wails. So they do the open up the gates, the gates, the gates. She hits, for the first time, they all go, for the first time in forever. And she just goes, for the first time. I think it's a D, maybe an E flat. She just holds it, belts it forever.
Yeah, I think
and
it's a D.
The entire four friend group in the mezzanine just, like,
Screamed.
And then
screamed.
And then at the very
wigs
end.
Snatched.
And then at
Sorry
the very end. Very end. She goes, I know it all ends tomorrow, so it has to be today. She full on. I have an audio. I'm going to play it. I'm going to play it.
You bootlegged your own friend?
Yes.
You BL'd your own F?
What?
What? I mean, if you can play a Glinda bootleg audio, I can play a Frozen audio. Choral realness, by the way.
Yeah, broad choral realness.
That was Stephanie Cowan.
Bitch.
Right?
Bitch.
Right? And this is a girl who also, like, can do coloratura soprano shit. Like,
I
it's,
know.
And she's the tiniest person in the whole world. She is.
I did a rock uptight musical reading with her, and the first time she opened her mouth, I just, I think the exact words that naturally came into my head were, it's just not fair.
Yeah.
It's just not fair that someone could sing that well, mm-hmm. sound that amazing, look just so pretty. She's so pretty.
She's a pretty little princess.
Pretty. She is. And just be that kind and sweet. I just, the thought that I have about her is it's just not fair.
It's not.
Meanwhile, I'm golluming all over the place.
I've been
schmeagling all the way down 8th Ave.
I've been casting couching all over this goddamn city. My voice has not gotten any better.
Someone accused me last night of running Catherine McPhee's Twitter. These are my highlights. But that bitch.
No, she is a total bitch. I hate her.
Someone actually did, it was the Trump musicals account. Do you follow the Trump musical?
No.
I'm
not on Twitter, boo.
It's this fake Twitter account where, as if Trump were tweeting about Broadway musicals. Mm-hmm. And someone last night accused me of being the Trump Twitter person. And so Trump, fake Theater Trump replied back that I'm too busy running Catherine McPhee's Twitter account. And I felt seen for the first time in forever.
I'm almost positive that whoever runs that account is a personal friend of yours.
I've made accusations to friends, and they have told me that who they think it is. I also have not completely ruled out a whole fight club situation where it is me running it, and I just black out a lot. I have not ruled that out.
Yeah. I mean, we are friends with a lot of big belters, and every time they do belt, I black out, so I'm not surprised if that's the case with you.
Yeah.
So, back to topic.
Yes.
Yes, Laura Nicole Chapman.
Amazing.
Even if I did love the show, I wouldn't have been able to appreciate the show because all I was doing was watching her be a leading lady, and it was delightful.
There's nothing like it.
No. On to the show. Something that I've been trying to be really good about and lately, and I feel like I am, with the exception of Finding Neverland, is be really fair about what it is that I do and don't like about shows. I try not to just, like, be a raging cunt, for a better word.
And when does that start?
Right now.
Great.
Due to the Happiness Project.
Great.
I
know.
It's why I'm not very quotable on this podcast, because I try to be more, like, eloquent and intelligent about my opinions, and then John comes out with, like, a tweet every 5 seconds.
No, I mean, I'm just those phenomena Muppets.
Yeah, but that's what people enjoy.
Phenomena.
The same friend who said that he doesn't like it when we talk about sex, he's like, I listened to it to hear you, Matt, talk about history and hear John be funny. I was like, great. So John's not intelligent and I'm not funny. Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we all know. No, just kidding.
It's what we all know about this podcast. It's fine.
So go back to being
You're the Mary and I'm the Rhoda. Or no, I'm the Mary and you're the Rhoda. Which is it? Rhoda's funny.
Romeo and Michelle's high school reunion.
Great.
I don't know.
Fantastic.
I invented Post-its.
Big whoop with your cousin Barry. I wouldn't brag about it. So the show. I will say, I actually was enjoying the first 20, 25 minutes of the show.
Yeah. It lulls you into a false sense.
Yeah, well, because they, like, try to expand it, and, like, the prologue was very lovely, and they do some, like, very inventive design and staging things at the beginning. What baffled me was that when it actually got to, like, the Elsa Frozen snowstorm stuff, that is when it felt like the creatives, both writing and design and staging-wise, kind of just gave up, which I thought, like, would be a gold mine for anybody else.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember when I talked about it on this podcast a while ago, but for me, there was this weird...
I don't remember a single thing you ever say.
No one should. There was this weird moment during that first inaugural scene, whatever you want to call it.
The coronation,
that's an inaugural. The coronation scene, where there are three book scenes that interject the song between Anna and Elsa that are exactly the same. Mm-hmm. Nothing is different between the three of them. And that was when I just started feeling, And then kind of after Let It Go, I do not believe Elsa has another spoken word. She just sings for the rest of the show. There are questions.
So I'm gonna bring this into two categories. One is writing, one is design and staging. In terms of writing, it's not a bad musical. I would say their biggest crime is padding the mood. They really don't explore new territory in the show except for the first 20 minutes. And then after that, it's just about padding it to make it a two-act musical.
Yeah.
And that's not a crime, but I thought where they chose to pad were the wrong choices.
Yeah.
Starting with,
it's kind of like the Nina Bonina Brown of padding musicals.
Exactly. Well, at least with Nina Bonina Brown, she made an impression the first time. Then it just became like, why?
But the padding was suspicious.
It was suspicious, yes.
And the padding continues to be suspicious for this.
Yes, that is
very
true.
That's my new favorite adjective.
The padding continues to be suspicious?
Well, just calling anything suspicious. Sure. Bob the drag queen said it once, you know, one word for you or something, or your padding or your teeth or something, suspicious. And now that's my favorite.
Yeah, it's a good one to do. It's suspicious. Yeah. Because the padding that they do in the show, they gave Hans so much extra material, which again is not a crime, but it comes at the cost of not giving Elsa anything else.
Yeah.
Casey Levy, first of all, sings like a goddamn queen. It's unfair how good she sounds on songs that are really unfair.
Tongue out, chest belt.
And as we were talking about Lauren, like, it sounds healthy and natural.
Especially
when you're belting that high, to sound healthy while doing it is just, it's usually one or the other. But
in that show sounds amazing.
Yeah. It's a very talented cast.
That ensemble, that whole ensemble is just crazy talented.
Yes.
It's dumb.
I'm really not trying to shit on the show because I think there's a lot of good to it, and it's they actually have my favorite pre-show announcement. I don't know if you remember, but they make a shout out at the end of the pre-show announcement to anyone whose first Broadway show this is. Like, we hope this is a memorable experience.
Oh, I love that.
This starts a new passion for you. And I was like, no matter what, like, this show could be Good Vibrations right now, and I would just be like, yes, bitch, work. Like, that it was a beautiful pre-show announcement.
That's really
Elsa
sweet.
And Act Two, literally, like, she comes on every 10 minutes to wail for 3 minutes and then goes off stage.
I was like,
that's not fair to Casey
Levy.
It's not
fair to her.
Because she's a good actress and
she's
trying really hard to connect all the dots. The writers just don't give her that benefit in Act Two. They instead give Hans two extra songs. They start Act Two with a really unnecessary number for like a princess track, Bitstress, is that how it's pronounced? Like, not Huga. Not Huga. And my friend turns to me and she goes, this is a really long song for a character we're never going to see again. And I was like,
and it's
absolutely
true. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, it wasn't necessary. It was one of those things where I was like, I'm not hating this moment, but like, this time could be better spent for a character I care about.
Yeah.
And so that was my issue in terms of writing. In terms of design and staging, as I said, when it got to the snowstorm, which should be like a designer's paradise, it really just became projections. And then at one point, icicles came up from the floor through Monster. And they used the turntable a total of two times, which is like, I'm a turntable fanatic. I love it. I think it's one of the greatest things you could do in design. I was like, how dare you have a turntable
and not use it?
Yeah. The designs when it was Arendelle normally, I thought were stunning.
Really
and, like,
beautiful.
Yeah.
Really beautiful.
Surprisingly dim lighting, but
I know. I thought that too. I was like, oh, this is a, they're going for the darkness.
Yeah. But like, it was very moody and gorgeous. It was like a Vermeer painting. I was very into it. And then that lighting, that atmosphere kind of went away when the snow stuff happened, which I thought, I wasn't like devastated. I thought that there was more invention in the first 20 minutes, design, writing, staging wise, than there were in the rest of the show. Mm. So it was kind of a really good build up that then plateaued. Which again, you know, there are worse things out there than having a decent setup and then not really going beyond that. You could plummet from the get go.
Look like, at my life.
Like John's life.
Like my whole life.
Like Finding Neverland.
Yeah.
I think that's going to become my new running joke. It's got to be brought up at least once in every podcast episode.
Finding Neverland?
Yeah. Because here's
I'm going to go on eBay and find every bit of Finding Neverland paraphernalia that I can find and get it for you.
For my birthday? Thank you.
For Christmas. Or Hanukkah.
Well, okay. Let me tell you a secret, everybody. Jews love Christmas.
Well,
we do.
I know this.
We do. We really do. But, like, nothing about the religious aspect. We love the tree. We love the songs. We love the holiday movies. We love the Nutcracker.
That's why Christians love Christmas, too.
Yeah.
No one
cares
Who
about
Jesus. Who does it anymore for the baby Jesus? Please. Baby Jesus. which is the 17th time people have used that joke.
So this is all to say, I enjoyed Frozen more than I thought I would. Yeah. I can rightfully say it made me a convert. Not, is that the word I'm looking for? I wasn't converted to, like,
sure.
I wasn't a converted fan of the show. As someone who actually does really unapologetically enjoy the movie, I can't.
See, it actually took me a couple times. Like, I had to watch. I didn't really love the movie the first time. Mm-hmm. I liked it much more the second time. But
did you see it after the hype or before the hype?
I saw it after the hype, and so it she had been hyped up a little too much for me.
Yeah, that's honestly the problem with things like that. Because I saw it the week it came out, just because I was looking. Me and two friends were looking for something to do that weekend, so we went. Crowded theater full of children and adults, with the children actually pretty well behaved. And we knew nothing about the movie. We just knew that it was a new Disney movie, it was supposed to be pretty good, and we loved it. And then it blew up and it became like, oh God. But I forget that, like, there's a lot of really intelligent comedy writing in that movie.
There is, yeah.
A lot of Olaf stuff is actually really,
really funny.
Great. Yeah, and it's the stuff that gets the biggest laughs in the show. One of my personal favorite jokes is when Anna gets hit with the ice again and her hair starts turning white.
Mm-hmm.
And Kristoff's like, oh, your hair is turning white. And I was like, oh, is it okay? There's a beat. And he goes, yeah, it's fine. And then Olaf just goes, you hesitated. And it was, it's like, it's they don't play it up that much. It's just, it's fine. You hesitated. It's a great 1, 2, 3. I loved it.
I'll have to go back and see it. And I don't know. I'll bring like poppers or something.
Please invite me. You bring the poppers, I'll bring the cocaine. You'll enjoy the poppers, I'll enjoy the cocaine. And we'll also have gummy bears, because why not?
I was just going to say Twizzlers. I was like, I have a friend who every time she buys condoms, she always tries to buy at least one or two other things that makes the least sense to buy with condoms. So she will buy condoms, a pack of Twizzlers, and... The original version of Beaches on DVD, you know, like something like that, or condoms, a cucumber, and a self-help book. You know, it's her own personal little joy in life of buying condoms with just the most random things, and always at Target. I've been with her; it's very fun.
You know what I was looking at.
I get my condoms on Amazon.com because I was raised to be ashamed of sex. So.
Weren't we all, hunty?
But also, you just get them delivered to your door.
Well, my mom actually just shamed me when I texted her today because she asked if we wanted to get dinner. I was like, well, I'm going on like a drink date, but it's fine. Like, I'm not expecting anything. And she goes, you're going on a date, but you're not expecting anything? What? So just sex then? Like, she totally shamed me. I was like,
Danny.
First of all, if it were for just sex, don't shame me. Second of all, it's not for just sex. It's fun to meet new people.
Yeah.
Just because I don't expect him to become my husband doesn't mean anything.
Listen, I love meeting new people because there is nothing like having that connection with someone that you meet for the first time while you're just sitting there crying.
Yeah. And
you're bawling your eyes out and they are so uncomfortable and they're like, I want to leave this Panera Bread. And you are just burying your soul.
Guys, I'm just tired of talking to John all the time, so I need to meet new people.
Yes, I'm tired of talking to John too.
It is really awkward when you go for a drink with somebody and you're like, I'm not looking for a relationship. And they're like, oh, so just do you want to go back to my place? And go, no, I don't want that either. And they go, what do you want? I was like, don't question me. Just like enjoy this drink. I don't know. I'm trying to be like more like in the moment and like let's make new connections with everybody. But right now, everyone's either a Slytherin or a Gryffindor. They're like, either you want to have sex with me or you want to be my soulmate. I'm like, can we just be Hufflepuffs?
I was just going to say, meanwhile, I am here Hufflepuffing all over the place my whole damn life. HP Pride, y'all. Like, I bleed black and gold, which are also the Steelers colors. So, I forgot the word color.
I think now's the time to announce everyone, cats out of the bag. John Miscavige is the new Jefferson Lafayette cover in Hamilton.
I am. What's going on?
I don't know.
What has happened to this episode? It's really gone off the tracks. I also cannot stop staring at this fucking wig this studio. That I cannot see the front of it, but it promises to be a... Honestly, it kind of looks like an Anna wig.
Yeah.
Do you think Tyler will be pissed if I take a picture of me in it?
Is I don't it lace think front? So. I don't know. I mean, we're seeing it from behind, so it could very well be. It's potential. Yeah, no, literally. So as I mentioned, Tyler is moving his studio, his business, to a new location. Mm-hmm. So the studio is just literally a disaster zone. It is literally like John Miscavige's butthole after Pride Week.
Well, I was just going to say, it really is so symbolic of my brain. There are a lot of just random smatterings of mannequins. There's an old-timey kind of pilgrim outfit.
Yeah, it's a very Charles Dickens-y outfit on a hanger. There's Febreze. There's a vacuum cleaner. There are light bulbs.
There's a half-drinking bottle of Irish whiskey.
Mm-hmm, an empty town hall cup.
I was just going to say the town hall cup really thrills me.
Yeah, there's a plant. Yeah. Curtains. It's just like, it's a lot of stuff. Yeah. So yeah, John is looking at a wig right now that looks like Anna... It looks like a wig. What did you say, wig?
I meant to just do that wig that Katy Perry with that gay boy singing on American Idol. He goes, wig. And she goes, oh my God, wig. I know, right? And I went to say wig, but because my throat is kind of fucked up right now, it came out, wig. And I didn't mean it to.
John is regressing to being 14 years old again.
What's the next thing we wanted to talk about?
Speaking of being 14 and regressing, as I don't know if anybody knows this, but Steven Spielberg is doing a remake of West Side Story.
Oh, my God.
And we have ourselves a Tony, y'all.
I love this choice for Tony because I love anyone whose first name is one letter away from being anal. You know?
Yeah.
Ansel and
Arnold.
Arnold. He is your twink fantasy, honeys.
He is. So, do you know this, that Ansa Elgort is a Stage Door alum?
Well, Natalie Walker, alum of this podcast, posted a picture of her with him.
Yeah.
And I was shooken.
Yeah. She went to Stage Door with me, Natalie Walker. So, full disclosure, Stage Door Manor has had many a famous alum.
Yeah.
Like, Ansel Elgort is just one of many.
Yeah. Elgort, you guys, Charlie Manson, the list goes on.
It does really go on. You know, Nancy Kerrigan, after the fact.
She studied after.
Yeah. So if you were to ask me at the time that he and I were at Stage Door together, like, who I thought was gonna like make it big immediately after Stage Door, I would not have said Ansel.
Yeah.
Just because
I find that true in a lot of people who have become famous.
Yeah. I mean, like, he was talented, he was nice. He was very odd in a lot of ways because his parents are artists, and so he comes from like Soho.
His name is Ansel Elgort? Is that how you say it?
Of course, Elgort, yeah.
Of course his parents are artists.
They are, but like, apparently, I didn't know that they were like famous artists. I thought his parents were just hippies trying to relive 1972.
Oh, I mean, that's what I would have thought too. I didn't realize they were famous. But that's another key factor into becoming famous if your parents are already slightly famous.
Yeah, exactly. But like, I mean, talent will let out, but you know, sometimes doors open for you when you have more doors on. I'm not trying to like dissuade that. I'm just saying like he was a very odd child from like famous artist parents, like living in Soho. Like, he had like a very like scattery kind of brain. He had very long shaggy hair, and I remember him telling us that he was a tap dancer. And so when we were doing what was called the Art Time Cabaret, which was an elite performing group, there's a tap break, and like, I have 2 years of tap experience. Like, I can tap, but I'm not like a tapper.
Sure.
He and I both auditioned to do the tap break, and I booked it, but he didn't, because whereas I can like give you a nice clean time step and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Time step? Did you say time stamp?
I said time steal. I lost my breath.
Insert one of those John takes to you right now, because that... What?
Time steal.
Time stamp.
Wig.
Wig.
But he's like... like a bring into noise, bring into funk kind of tap dancer. Like, he can freeform, he can do all this stuff. Like, comes from his body.
Yeah.
Doesn't it always? But so I just remember like thinking like, what a weirdo. And then like 2 years after I left Stage Door, he's like doing a play with Alexis Bledel. He cut his hair. He's looking dreamy. And all of a sudden he's a movie star. And like a good one at that. So leading to the fact that he has been cast as Tony in the West Side Story remake, which is actually kind of good casting. He has a very 1950s dream boy look about
him. He does. Yeah. And he has that innocence about him that...
Sorry, I just hit your mic.
No, it's totally fine. It's hit my mic again, and I'll kill you, bitch. He has that kind of... I actually think it's a great choice. I mean, can he sing? People have said yes.
I remember his voice being really low, like very bassy.
But here's the thing. It doesn't matter. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. It does
stamp.
Not
stamp. Time stamp.
It doesn't matter anymore if you could sing, because even if you have the most amazing voice, if you're going to be in a movie musical, they're still going to auto-tune it.
Oh,
they're
absolutely.
Still
gonna, I mean, just what they do.
Yeah, it's just going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, worst case scenario, they lower the keys for him. It's fine. Whatever makes him sound better.
Right.
The reason why it kind of threw me for a loop for a second is because that Tony, like, It's a Barry tenor role. It's a legitimate Barry tenor role where it's these tenor notes, but they want a baritone sound.
Right.
And Ansel, like, has a low, manly singing voice, which is hot, but I was, like, not the notes for that role.
Mm.
But it's interesting that he beat out some big Broadway talent.
Yeah. No, I had the same exact thought. But I guess maybe...
Apparently Twitter was, like, the stands on Twitter were not happy he got it because all the Hanson fans... wanted Dear Ben de la Christ.
Yeah, no, I mean, I get that. People, I mean, hate is gonna hate. I'm not surprised that people were very upset on Twitter. Twitter is the place to get very upset on things.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I run Catherine McPhee's Twitter. I know how it goes.
She has a lot to be upset about.
Yeah.
We never found out what baking could do for her.
But to be honest, I
you're just not acknowledging.
No, I'm just not going to acknowledge it. I will not.
I will not. Jodie Foster.
I will not Jodie Foster this kind of behavior. I will not. I don't. Listen. I watched his self tape, whether that was his actual audition or whether it was not. I'm sure he'll make an amazing Tony someday. But I don't know. I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at all. I don't know what I'm trying to say here. Basically, stand down for a second. I mean, also, in another week, they're going to... That's the beautiful thing about Twitter. They are in such an uproar right now, and 2 hours from now, they're going to be in an uproar about...
What about something else? Yeah.
Because I do the same thing. We all do the same thing. It is what we are built to do now. We are built to have reactions, go off on our huge emotional tirades,
mm-hmm.
and then 2 hours later... it's going to be about something else. We feed into the cycle, and the cycle feeds us, and we are part of the matrix.
I also, like, do they think they're going to change Steven Spielberg's mind? Like, he's Steven fucking Spielberg. He doesn't have Twitter. He doesn't care.
Right.
He's like, I have so many Oscars and so much money. I'm going to cast over the... He could cast, I don't know, like, a garden gnome as Tony, and he wouldn't care what people would have to say about it.
Yeah, and to be honest, I kind of feel like, and I guess this is a compliment. I feel like Ben Platt is too interesting of a Tony. I feel like his take on Tony would be so different from what anything mm-hmm. has ever been. I don't think it would be different from what he does. I think Ben Platt kind of has his stamp on things, and he kind of does that. But I don't. But I don't. We have a whole mime show going on behind here.
We're not
going
to tell you what they are because we've already overexplained too much today.
Listen. He would go into passe on the high note in Maria.
I would do the lunge thing.
Yeah. So, but I think he would be amazing. But I truly do. I don't know. I think, not that I think Tony has to be a boring role per se, but
no.
I think Tony kind of has to be bland enough to be our everyman. Tony has to be. Tony wasn't written to be the quirky underdog, I feel.
No. Well. The reason why I think Ben Platt is
and I
not...
I love a quirky underdog. I am the quirky underdog. I'm the quirky hot dog. I'm not even the underdog. I'm a...
Honey?
I'm a tube of meat. That is all I am.
You're the hot dog from the vendor that claps back at you.
I am.
Yeah, it runs right through you to the next day. My issue with if Ben Platt were to be cast in it is just that I wouldn't buy Ben Platt as a former gang member. Like, as somebody who, like, robbed convenience stores and, like, beat other people up and possibly could kill somebody. I wouldn't buy that.
I mean, I never really do with any Tony ever because...
Sure, but, like, that is something you have to think about when you're casting. Whether a director chooses that or not, it is something that goes through your head.
Yeah.
But
I think what everyone really wants to talk about is how the first person I ever kissed was a Tony in a production of West Side Story.
When you were Doc?
When I was Doc. I know I've talked about it a ton of times. We were the only two not in the Mambo. And this is what Steven Spielberg should capture in his film. So I'm saying, I don't know, who Oscar Isaac should play Doc.
Oh.
And they should not be in the Mambo together. And they should reenact my experience in West Side Story.
But go even further. Full on Brokeback Mountain it.
Yes.
Spit in the tent and everything.
Why can't I bust like a hot water pipe to you?
What?
That's what Doc says when he slaps Tony. And my friends to this day never let me forget that's what Doc says, because I was having this slight toward love affair with Tony and I slapped him. And in front of a lot...
Sean's slap, by the way. It was the gayest little thing I've ever seen. It was half a hand to his chest.
But I also refused to use stage combat, so I actually slapped this man. He wasn't a man.
You're,
he was
you're
18.
A math
he was like
actor.
17. I slapped him, and then the line was, "Is that what you all do? Bust like a hot water pipe." And this is for my NEPA crowd out there, because I know you all know what's coming, because you still make fun of me for it to this day. But I slapped him, and I went, "Is that what you all do? Bust like a what nutter pup?" I said the words, "What nutter pup? What nutter pup?"
Patty LuPone is Doc. Did we talk about Kinky Boots closing yet?
We didn't talk about Kinky Boots closing. I'm honestly so pleasantly surprised. Like, yeah, I joke. I joke on social media. I actually tweeted like 2 weeks ago, if Kinky Boots can survive 2018, then you can too. Mm. And then 3 days later, the announcement was made. And I was like, this did not age well. But I'm pleasantly surprised, all joking aside, that a musical that is so gay, so out there, has been on Broadway for four years.
It'll be almost seven, I think. No, so it'll be about 6 years when it closes.
And to be honest, like, it hasn't done, it's had its little, it plays with its stunt casting and whatnot, and it definitely does that a good amount, but it also has given a lot of Broadway actors work that hadn't previously.
Laura Nicole Chapman.
Yeah, no, I think it's given a lot of up and comers their chance. So I'm sad to see it going. All joking aside, I've never seen it.
You never seen it?
No. So I should see it.
Yeah, no, you should see it before it closes. That's what I have to say to you about that.
Good talk.
Yeah, truthfully, they really didn't start doing stunt casting until like the last year and a half of its run.
Yeah.
Like they kind of held off on it for a long time.
They did. I mean, unless you
count Todrick Hall and Wayne Brady, I guess.
That's what I was going to bring up. I was like, I mean, they did do that with Wayne Brady. But is that really stunt casting?
Yeah, if Wayne Brady's in a show and no one cares, is it stunt casting?
Yeah, if Wayne Brady gets chopped down in the middle of the woods and no one's around, does anyone go see Kinky Boots? You know, that old saying.
Yeah.
You know?
My grandmother used to say that to me every night before bed.
Yeah, no, it's stitched on a pillow.
You know, actually, I saw Todrick Hall on the show, because that was when Lauren went on Broadway for the lead.
Oh.
And he was delightful.
Yeah, I heard that as well.
Yeah, he was surprisingly wonderful in the role. Yeah, Kinky Boots is not my favorite. I don't think it's a bad show. I don't think... it's a super great show either. It's one of those things. It's similar to Frozen in the way that, like, when you finally saw Frozen after, like, all the hype, Kinky Boots, like, won the Tony Award and, like, had this big old run and went all over the world. And people would ask me, like, oh, I haven't seen it yet. Like, is it worth all the hype? I was like, A, what show ever is worth all the hype that it is? But even before it, like, kind of blew up, I didn't think it was quite worthy of that kind of amount. I thought it was a perfectly fun show.
Mm.
But I always was a little baffled that it did as well as it did, just because I thought it was a little simple.
Wow.
That said, I will never, ever, ever negate anyone's positive feelings about that show, because I don't think it's a bad enough show for me to be bitchy about it. I think it's a solid show, but also it's like, whatever brings you joy, man. And there is some fucking catchy ass tunes in that show.
Yeah, no.
Paris to Milan.
I need to see it. It doesn't close until next spring, right?
April. Yeah, you got time.
Yeah, so I have time. I'll see it next spring, because I'm only here for less than 10 days, and I'm going to see two shows. I'm going to go see Alex in Waitress, because also one of my childhood best friends just joined the company of Waitresses past summer.
Gross.
Jessie Hooker Bailey, and she understudies Dawn, so she's been rehearsing with Alex, but I want to see them this week. And I got tickets. Have you heard of the play I Was Most Alive With You at, I believe, Playwrights Horizon?
No.
It's kind of become this whole underdog production. People are loving it. God, who wrote it or directed it? It has some really amazing people attached to it. But I believe, I haven't been wanting to read too much about it, because I kind of want to be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I understand, it is a play where it has two casts mm-hmm. simultaneously performing it, and one cast is doing it in ASL and the other cast is speaking it. Oh. And so my friend Tad, who is in it, is an actor who I saw him in Tribes, a DCPA, and he was amazing. And so I'm really excited to see him, and I've heard amazing things, so I can't wait to come back next time we record and talk about that. And this will be my second time seeing Waitress. Last time I saw it was with Betsy Wolf, but I've heard Nicolette is really wonderful.
I have heard the same.
And it's actually kind of, I know it's probably not going to happen in the next week. I'm sure it's going to happen over the next couple months, but because they're just getting a new Dawn. But I'm really hoping that while Nicolette is still in, my friend Jessie goes on for Dawn, because if she does, it will be the first time in Waitress, and maybe the first time ever in a Broadway show, where three of a show's leading ladies are all going to be Black when they were not specifically written for Black women.
Yeah.
Or had been originated by Black women. And I love that. I love that casting. I love that being something that can happen now.
Yeah.
So
that's wonderful.
Yeah. So I'm excited to see Waitress again.
Betsy Wolf is a good first Waitress experience to have, I would imagine.
Yeah, no, she was very, very good. She was wonderful. But I'm very excited for Nicolette.
Jessie Mueller. It's fine. I saw the entire Rachel Roy Company. It's fine.
I know that she just closed Carousel, but I sometimes wake up in the middle of the night going, what's Jessie Mueller doing next? You know?
Yeah. Speaking of Steven Spielberg, maybe he's going to put her in West Side Story.
Yeah.
Because they did the post together. She could be like, maybe they'll make Doc a woman. She'll be female Doc.
Yes. Femme Doc.
Femme Doc. What would be a feminine term for Doc?
Doc? Why are you trying to gender my docs?
Deck?
Leave my doc alone.
Duke?
Duke? No, you just...
Leave us alone, Duke.
You have frozen on the brain, because now you're just saying Swedish. Weird Icelandic words.
Hygge.
Hygge.
Hygge. It's not very Hygge. That's super lovely. I should try to see one more thing before you leave, so I have something to talk about.
Try to see something. See something, say something. That's our whole motto here.
That's
if you see something, say something.
Lord knows I don't leave an opinion unwanted. Another friend said to me that I need to be very careful about what I say on this podcast in case it bites me in the ass later in life in terms of, like, my opinions. And I went, listen, bitch, I've fully come to terms with the fact that I'll never audition for a Broadway show again. I'm going to make my own opportunities, so I don't have to worry about Diane Paulus being mad at me for Finding Neverland.
Listen, I am also just happy that you have two friends. two friends.
No, it's another Fight Club situation. They're all in my head.
Yes.
It's literally just my subconscious being like, Matt, should you say that about Kinky Boots? And I'm like, I haven't said anything nasty. I've just said something not something you'd want to put on a billboard.
Same. I mean, I've never said anything you want to put on a billboard.
I think when it comes to negative criticism, like, I am the dream team. I do not make you go to bed crying at night. Mm. Unless you're my mother and you think, I created this. This is what I've unleashed on the world. Fuck.
Speaking of unleashing on the world, I've had to pee for the last 35 minutes.
You didn't pee before we did this?
I did.
I have to pee again?
I chugged that iced coffee.
You really are old.
But I wonder. I was thinking if I should stop at any point during the podcast. But then I thought, you know what? I want my subtext today to be urgent pee.
John, don't hate on your prostate.
Girl, it's a little too late for that.
He punishes that prostate.
Oh, ew. Oh.
Really, John? That's the line. We'll cut it. That was the line, though.
I remember my dad telling me about how one day I'm going to have to get prostate exams and someone's going to have to stick a finger up my butt. And I just remember thinking, yes, please.
Oh, no.
But isn't that every gay kid's subtext in that moment?
Yes, please.
Yeah. Don't you remember learning about what...
When I first heard about something going up my butt for, like, medical reasons, I thought it was such an invasion of privacy. I was like, why would I do that?
Wow.
Then again, when I was a kid, I didn't... Like, how old are we talking here? Like... 12, 5, like, how big of a whore are we right now?
I have no memories. I have no recollection of anything.
It's all fun home. It's all one big blob of wibbly wobbly timey wimey stuff.
I was maybe aging out of small Allison. I don't remember.
I didn't think sexually for a very long time, and I think that's when I first thought of like medical when I heard about that like thing going in and happening.
The hand motion you guys just missed, let me tell you.
Oh God, it was not since John's slap and my subtext on Ben Platt's stamp on things. It was beautiful. I remember hearing that and I thought it was such an invasion of privacy. I'd never want it to happen. And then as I got older, I went, maybe. And then I changed my major to Joan.
You guys, I've always dreamed of recording a podcast and ending it talking about lustful prostate exams. So, Matt.
So let's close out with some messages, like recapping this week's episode, shall we? First of all, always make sure you have super talented friends, preferably ones that are more talented than you.
Always.
Not hard to be when you're me and John.
Correct.
We are bidding Kinky Boots adieu. You'll be missed. You've been a huge landmark in our lives.
Yes.
If you're a twink with pillowy lips, you'll most likely be cast in a production or movie version of West Side Story at some point in your life.
Yes, especially if your name is really close to anal. Mm-hmm. And
what is Jesse Mueller up to?
And what is she up to? Inquiring bottoms want to know.
And if you haven't gotten a prostate exam.
Yes, this is a PSA for get your prostate checked. Men, women, dogs.
Right after you vote.
Yes. So get your prostate exam.
It'll be a nice little reward for your chore that day.
Yes. First, you are going to check Uncle Sam's prostate and then let Uncle Sam check yours. Mm-hmm. What diva is going to sing us out today?
Honestly, we've covered so many random ass things. Part of me was like,
really a smorgasbord.
Part of me was like, Casey Levy, Jesse Mueller. We didn't do Jessica Voss last week because we paid homage to Maren Maisie. But, like, I don't know. Like, we kind of successfully moved from Jessica Voss today, so I don't think it would really be...
Is there a song about...
We could do the Factory Girls from Parade.
Oh. Yeah, that's it.
No, we can't do that.
Yeah,
no.
Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for listening. We're doing the Factory Girls from Parade. Bye!
No. Okay, quick.
I'm done speaking.
No, quick jump. Go. Who would it be? Go.
Go. We're closing out with the Factory Girls, Matt.
I hate you so much.
Bye, everyone. Have a blessed week.
I'm so sorry, everybody, that we did this to you. I didn't mean it.
I'm not sorry.
We're, I meant it. We're not sorry. Not one thing.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
He's so mad.
I'm so mad. I'll feel his breath back on my
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com and, of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.